We are talking about discipleship, and the whole summer we've been talking about this topic. Has anybody gotten anything out of it? Yeah, it's been good, right? And, you know, who knew you could just teach and teach on discipleship, but we're doing it. And we're doing something. And tonight I'm going to talk on this topic, take it from another angle. You could probably argue with me that this isn't about discipleship, but whatever. I'm going to do my thing. I have permission. So we're talking about discipleship, and I want to talk about disciples of rest. All right? Rest. That's something I know a lot about in my life because I am a young person, and I think young people have a little better understanding of rest than the older folks. And that's because our lives aren't as crazy. Some of us have crazy lives just because we make it that way. I don't know why we do that, but we don't really have to have crazy lives. We don't have kids. We don't have necessary big boy, big girl jobs, right? And so there's a little bit of coasting we can do in life, right? And so I want, as a young person, I'm going to plead with you older people about rest, okay? Because maybe it's something you've gotten away from, all right? Maybe not. Maybe you're good at it. Maybe you need to, you know, quit resting as much and do some work. I don't know which boat you're in, but I'm going to talk to the people who need rest, okay? And I think that's all of us. And let's go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Hebrews is a cool book. It's one of the few that they don't necessarily know who wrote this thing, all right? So they're like, is it her? Is it him? Is it Paul? Is it Apollos? I learned in one of my classes that Hebrews, a lot of them believe, is actually a sermon. And so if you read through it, they reference Psalms and these other things. And so it's a different type of book in the Bible. So it's something worth reading, something giving your time to. And it's the one that they focus on Jesus most as our high priest. And in Hebrews, you see like this different image of Jesus that you don't see in the rest of the New Testament. So it's a cool book. You should read it sometime. That's my plug for Hebrews. But Hebrews 4, verse 1, hopefully you got there in my stalling. Hebrews 4, 1, I love this passage. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. He says in verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. And he's talking about the Israelites. He's talking about the Jews before Jesus. But the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Because it was not mixed with faith in those who heard it. So let's break this down a little bit. Whoever's writing this says that there is a promise of entering God's rest. And it's for all people, all of God's people. And he says, hey, let's fear that we don't enter into this rest. Now, it's interesting. I think a lot of times in the Bible, we have this fear. We talk about the fear of God. And a lot of times the fear of God is taught, like, I can't do bad stuff. So I'm going to be afraid of God. I'm going to fear him so that I don't do bad stuff, right? That's kind of like how we're taught. Like, I can't drink. I can't do this. I can't do that because God's going to get me, right? And whoever's writing this takes a totally different spin. He's saying, you guys need to be afraid that you're not resting. You actually need to be scared about that because it's, you know, if you're not resting, and tonight I'm not talking about, you know, natural sleep. I'll explain this more. But if you're not resting, it's not a good thing. And he refers to these old passages about the Israelites as they're traveling through the wilderness for all these years, right? He's saying these guys didn't rest and it didn't end well for them. They all died. That's not good news. He says they all died. And he said they didn't enter my rest. They were disobedient. And they didn't choose. They chose to do their own thing. All right. And if we go to Hebrews 4, verse 9, we'll skip some of this. It says, therefore, there remains, I'm throwing therefores whether or not, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. That's you and I. He says, for he who has entered his rest, God's rest, has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So you see this, the Israelites, they don't enter into this rest, and it's called disobedience because they weren't resting. Now this just baffles me, right? Because I thought the whole Christianity thing was I'm supposed to do a bunch of good works, right? And that if I'm disobedient, that means I'm not doing good works, right? And I'm not working hard enough, right? Isn't that how we think? That's what religion has taught us. But Hebrews right here, whoever wrote it, whoever he or she was, is saying the opposite. hey, you're actually being disobedient when you're doing your own thing and you're not resting. And it says that he who has entered God's rest has ceased from his own works. So there is this great rest that we can enter into. So rest, I say all that to say this, we have a promise of rest, all of us. As disciples of Christ, there is this promise that we can enter into rest. Rest is a place, it's a maybe even a posture. These Israelites, they were going to the land of Cana, and this is where God was saying, you would enter into this place of rest. Now, we think of heaven, right, that way, right? Heaven, the sweet by and by, right? We're going to enter into a rest there, right? And but it's saying, no, we enter into rest here on this earth. So there is a rest for the people of God. And so I say this should encourage you tonight. There is a rest for you tonight, wherever you're at, whatever you're going through. Your offering message is great, right on point with what this is saying. There is a rest. You need provision, there's a rest for you. You need grace tonight, there's a rest. You got something going on in your body, there's rest for you. And all of this in terms of discipleship. You're making disciples, there's a rest for you. It's not all on you. Oh, thank the Lord, it's not all on me. There's a rest for us. So there's this promise of rest for all of us. It says it in Hebrews, guys. In Hebrews, it says it. There's a rest for all of us. And so my question is, if that there is a promise for this rest, why are we not entering into it? It's promised to us. It's provided for us. What are we doing? I think a lot of us in here like to be, and don't take this the wrong way, I think a lot of us in here like to be busybodies, right? We just like to be doing stuff just so we can say, well, I'm doing something, right? And that is not the gospel. That is not what Jesus has called us to do. He didn't give us the Great Commission just because he had nothing else to do, right? We had nothing. We're talking about school earlier. I remember being in school and you had certain teachers. You could just pick them out. You knew who they were the first day of class. They were people who, when they weren't there or when they didn't want to teach or anything, they would just give you busy work. And busy work is the worst. Is that just me, young people? Yeah. If we don't have to do this, if this isn't for a grade, then I'm not doing it, right? That's my philosophy, right? I'm not going to write a paper just because it's fun, you know? There better be a grade attached to this. And I'm just saying, there's a lot of Christians, we're just out doing stuff, all this busy work, I think it's just to make ourselves feel better. And I just have to tell you something, if we just took a deep breath, just cast all that off and just, let's just rest, man, it's a lot easier, guys, man. I'm not writing a paper unless, you know, God asked me to. You know what I'm saying? That's the kind of mentality I had in school, right? And it worked. No, I'm just kidding. It didn't. No, it did. And but busy work. I say all that to say there is this promise, this place of rest that you and I, we should all enter into. And like I said, it's not when we get to heaven. It's here on this earth today, right now. Today is the day of salvation. All right? So we beat that dead. We beat it. And let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Now, this is Paul writing, and Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, right? And so we know who the writer of this is. We know what Paul's all about. And Paul, man, in Corinthians, there's some tough stuff, guys. He, like, deals. There's some bad stuff going on in this church, and he just deals with things. But in 1 Corinthians 15, he really breaks this down for us. He breaks down the gospel, which is amazing. Thank you, Paul, for breaking that down for us. Because we talk about the gospel. What is it? Oh, Paul broke it down for us. And so that's in the first part of 1 Corinthians 15. And very simply, the gospel is Jesus came and died. And for our sins, it says he was buried in the tomb and then he rose from the grave. He did all that to redeem us, restore us, put us back in the family of God. So that's 1 Corinthians 51 through 5. Now, if we get down to verse 10... I'm not trying to show off tonight. I'm sorry. Does it feel that way? I just realized. Okay, I'm not trying to show off my Bible knowledge. That's not what I'm trying to do. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:10. And this is Paul. He says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. And his grace towards me was not in vain." And he says this, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So Paul says this, "I am what I am by the grace of God." So when you look at me, who I am, it's by God's grace. Now, I'm not talking about all that other crap, that old man stuff. I'm talking about this new man stuff, this new work making disciples, preaching the gospel, all of that is by God's grace. I can't boast in it. I can't take credit for it. It's His grace. Paul says the grace of God was not in vain towards me. And he's saying that because the grace of God is in vain towards a lot of people because they never enter rest and they never receive the grace of God. So they do it all on their own. But Paul's saying, I've entered into rest. I've received this grace. It wasn't in vain towards me. And then he says this, and then I labored more abundantly. This is pretty boastful. I've labored more abundantly. I've done more than all of y'all. That's what Paul says. And he says, and then he doesn't say, well, no, not me, but the grace of God that works in me. So let me describe this to you. You and I were called to enter into this rest. We have a promise. When we enter into that rest, this amazing things happen, guys. God's grace can begin to work in us. And when it works in us, it begins to change us, transform us, and it begins to produce things in us, and we are able to labor and do more good works than we ever were before. And this I used that word earlier, this baffles this is astounding, this doesn't make sense. But this is the supernatural ability of God, that if you and I choose to rest, His grace can work in us, and then we can do more work than all the other people who are trying to do it on their own. All these busybodies running around. Does that make sense? It's pretty simple. I'll give you an example, or an analogy rather. I've never been operated on, but I've heard about such operations, all right? And they sound scary. But if you go into surgery, and I was actually talking to Pastor Nate about this earlier this week. So he's been in surgery, so he explained how it all worked to me. So I know more about what I'm talking about. And he described it like this. That when he goes into surgery, first thing he does is after he's done all the crazy stuff that I don't understand, you know, paperwork, all that stuff, he has to go into the bathroom, strip off his clothes, and get one of those little gowns things that are open in the back, right? And that's how it works. And I've never had that happen. Hopefully won't ever, right? But and so you have that happen, so you're exposed, you're vulnerable, you're in this great position, right, with probably people you don't know that are about to start operating on you. Then you go into the room, and they lay you out on the table or whatever they got set up for you, right? And then they put you under, and you are out, and they work on you, they do their surgery and all the stuff they're paid such great money to do, right? All the stuff that you pay them such great money to do. And then you do that, then you wake up, and you know, there's lingering things, but you're changed. You're different, right? So I have this image of us with God. That this is a lot like what we are to do with Him. We are to lay all of our stuff aside, all of our baggage, all of our stuff, go before God, lay before Him, figuratively speaking, and lay before Him, let Him work. We're supposed to rest. Let Him work on us. Work all that stuff out. Do surgery. Change some things around. Let His grace work in us. Then we wake up, and we are right. Things are together. We can do more than we could do before. You see that? That's cool, right? That's a great analogy, Harry. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. And I really have to thank Nate for that imagery at the beginning that gives us even more, you know. We have to open up to God and let Him work. That's what a lot of rest is. And so I just have this image of me going in surgery, and if they didn't put me under, I could be fighting it. Imagine somebody operating on you and you're fighting it, right? You know, or you can't operate on someone who's running around the room or busybody doing their thing, right? It just doesn't work. And so a lot of us wonder, you know, well, why isn't God changing me? Why isn't His grace working me? Why am I not being transformed? Why is it all on me? All this stuff. It's because we're not resting and letting His grace work in us. We're not laying out on the operating table, exposing all, and letting Him work on us. And so because of that, we don't change, we don't grow, and a lot of us are just weary because of it. That's what it turns into. Weariness. Well, I'm doing this thing. I got to go to church on Sunday. They want me to be here on Wednesday nights. I really don't want to go on a Wednesday night. A lot better things to do. They want me to start discipling people. I don't even know how to do that. I don't know what this is, right? I'm supposed to read my Bible. I'm supposed to pray. So we have all these things that we're supposed to do. And if we do it in our own strength, it's just not going to work. It just ain't going to work. And so just very simply, if you and I learn to rest, enter into that rest that God has for us, His grace can work in us, He can change us, He can do the work, and then we get all the rewards. That's pretty nice. He can do the work in us, He can change us, and then we can just walk in it. You know, we can walk around in it. I'll give you another example. A couple years ago, I was one of my friends. This is amazing. I forget this story sometimes. One of my friends invited me to go to New Mexico with him and his family. And I know family trips, you know, aren't always exciting. But he paid for, you know, my plane ticket. He paid for me to stay, paid for me to play like 3 or 4 rounds of golf. Just ridiculous stuff. I'm just tremendous favor, right? And but one of the things he paid for me to do, and I enjoyed it. You know, we're friends. I wasn't freeloading, right? I offered something in this relationship, right? And but we were friends. We knew each other. And this is like after graduated senior year. So I'm going on his family vacation with him. And one of the things he loves to do is to go mountain climbing up in these big, you know, mountains in New Mexico. So, you know, I've been like rock climbing on a wall. I think we were on a cruise one time, and you know, you've got the colored pegs and you're a little kid and you can ring the bell and it's nice and sweet and dandy, right? I don't know if you've done that, but I've never necessarily like scaled a mountain or something, you know. And so we drive up, we're waiting for this, you know, our guide, and he shows up, and of course he's this total hippie. I mean, these are how these guys are, you know, the crazy beards and, you know, he's a cool guy, right? Young people would call him, he's very granola. That's the word we use, you know, just granola, right? That's the vibe he's putting off. And so old people are like, what's that? Granola is what you eat. And so he's very granola. And so we're in him, and he takes us up the mountain a ways. So we're already up high, and we're in New Mexico. And then we get to the place we have to hike up a good ways. Right? And I'm not talking, you know, just like, oh, we're hiking. I got my hiking stick. This is fun. I'm talking like I'm slipping and falling because it's so steep, right? So we get up to the spot high up, and I'm looking down at the valley, and I'm like, you know, looks dangerous, Harry. What are we doing up here? And then he begins to just shimmy his way up this mountain ever so, you know, so gracefully, you know, and he's just like, just climbing, and he's up to the top, and you know, all the belaying stuff, they put the ropes in and strap all the straps in and do all the things, and then, you know, he comes right back down. He's up and down in a flash, right? And then he's like, all right, who wants to go first? So my friend, he goes first. He's done this whole thing before. He's very athletic. He actually went and played football at Mercer University, so he's, you know, he's in shape. I so much, you know, I'm more of that lean build, you know, kind of lanky, you just let nature take its course with your body type of deal, right? And so he's up climbing, you know, he's got muscles on muscles, and then he does this thing, he goes up, it looks so easy when he does it too. So we've got granola guy, then I got muscle man, and then there's me, you like that alliteration, and there's me, and I'm about to go up, and they've got me strapped in, and it's just the most uncomfortable strap, you know, they have you harnessed in, right, it's just terrible, and they got a helmet on me, and I'm about to climb up this mountain. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And so I begin to work in every fiber of my being. I'm just clenching, holding on for dear life. And I'm, you know, I do a lot. And then I look down like, how far am I? Oh, I'm only like 5 feet up. You know, just keep working, keep climbing. And so the guy's telling me the whole time, like, you know, he's telling me to trust him. And he's telling me, hey, you got to, you know, you put all your weight on your feet. And because me, man, I'm just like, when I play sports, it is all about power, and we're going to hit it as hard as we can, and we're going to punch through the wall. You know, that's how I play sports. You know, it's all about sheer just force, right? With my upper body, not my lower body, just, you know, rah, right? And so that's how I'm powering through. I've got my arms, and I'm just clinging on and pulling myself up. And you're supposed to kind of be off the – you're supposed to be kind of like in this position. I am like right up on the mountain trying to – and it's just not working. And so I get to the top, and then, you know, I kind of do the thing back down, right? You know, that thing. And so I get back down, and I'm just slap tired, y'all. Just because I just did that whole mountain by myself. I didn't trust the granola guy. I didn't, you know, put any weight on my legs. It was all upper body. And so I get down, and the guy tells me, he's like, yeah, man, you gotta put some weight on your legs, man. You're just doing all upper body. I'm like, okay. You know, and at this point, I'm like, I am not going back up the mountain. I'm done with this thing, right? And so we go through another time, go through rounds. And, of course, the other people that came with us, they were such babies. Like, it was all of our first time except for my friend. And they didn't do it. They started to go up it, and it got too difficult. They just came right back down. But I was the one who had to go all the way to the top. What's wrong with this? Why? Why me, right? Why, God? No. And but so Nate does it. Muscle Man does it. I do it. He does it again. I'm like, all right, I'm exhausted, but I guess I'll do it again. This time it was a little bit better. Then Muscle Man, his name is Nate, my friend, he goes again, and they're like, here, you got to do it again. I'm like, none of y'all did it. And Granola Guy over here, his opinion doesn't matter, so really it's just me, and I don't want to do it. But so this third time, I determined I was going to put weight on my legs this time, right? And I was going to trust the legs, and I was going to trust the guy holding me that he had me, all right? I'm getting somewhere with the story. And so this time I go up, and it's like, I forget the different levels, but this is a tough one, right? And in my mind, they're all tough, but this is the toughest one I've seen so far. So I get up to this place, and there's like this overhang where it's like, I'm right here, and now the cliff starts to like go up that way, you know? And so if I'm supposed to grab up on there, I'm going to have to be, I don't even know how this possibly going to work, you know? Like, am I going to have to jump? Am I going to have to leap? And so, you know what I did? I was up to way where they couldn't see me either. So I felt good. Like if I fall right now, you know, no one will see me and it'll be okay, right? And so I'm at this point, this decision with God. I'm like, God, I'm going to jump for this thing. I'm going to trust this granola guy who's got me. And when I, you know, when I put some pressure on that line, he's going to pull me up. And I'm going to be up, able to get up over this overpass, right? So I don't know if I'm describing this well. I'm going to like jump out like that. Right? I don't know. This doesn't make any sense, you know, how this is going to work, but I'm just going to go for it. And I'm exhausted, you know? I'm not thinking straight. Haven't eaten in 5 days. No. no, so I'm at this place, and so I'm just like, I'm going to trust this guy. I'm going to trust my feet, all the stuff he's been saying, and I'm just going to jump. And so I do it, and it worked, y'all. I don't know how somehow I jump. It felt like, you know, like Mission Impossible, and I just grab on. I'm sure it didn't look anything like that. I jump. And as I jump, I can feel that he was pulling up on me, and so he gave me the extra boost. And then I grab up on, and then I just pull myself up, get to the top, just lay out up there, start singing, and it's a glorious moment. No. And I build a little fire up there and, you know, make some s'mores. No. I came back down, and I just probably laid down. I was so exhausted. And but I did it, and I finally trusted my guide. I trusted my shoes. I trusted the whole thing. I didn't put it all on me and my upper body and my, you know, myself. I feel like a lot of times that's how our Christian walk is. It's just like, I can do it. I can do it, God. And we don't trust in him. And then we wonder why we're so sore. Right? You know, I wake up the next morning and like my forearms are like, you know, they're like whatever. And I just can't feel, you know, they're just, what are they? And, but I think a lot of us, if we would learn to just rest, and I could sit back. What was so cool is I could sit back in that harness and I could put all my weight on it and it would hold me up, which is really cool. And that's to me a lot of what this resting thing is. It's just being able to lean back and trust in God. He's got me. I'm not going to fall right here, but just imagine he's got me, you know. He's got me so I can rest. He's holding me. He's taking care of me. So I can let go. To me, this is what faith is. We've made faith something else. Faith is very simply this, I'm okay with being in this position, let God take care of me. That's faith, a lot of it. This is Jesus. He's sleeping in the bottom of the boat. There's a storm raging all around. He's just down there sleeping. That's kind of the image of rest. This is, he gets a call one day, all right, on his flip phone. And those are ancient, right? And he gets a call and... They're not that old. And he gets a call, and his friend Lazarus is really sick, you know. He's close to death. And Jesus is like, okay, I'll just hang out here a few more days. You know I could come and take care of this problem, but I'm good. I'm just going to rest. Y'all just chill out. He'll be okay, right? And this, in my mind, is how Jesus talks. And so Jesus just waits it out, and everybody else is like, Jesus, what the heck are you doing, man? And Jesus, he doesn't have to get in a hurry. He doesn't have to do anything ahead. He doesn't have to be a busybody. He's the Son of God. He's good. He's chill, right? We're made to be like him. We're supposed to walk like him and talk like him and do it. And so if we do it, we got to do it from the same position Jesus did. You get a call that Lazarus died. Oh, okay. All right. We'll come over in a little bit. All right. You know, I got some things to do first, but I'll be over there and we'll raise him up. You know, no biggie, right? But all of us are just so frantic all the time, and well, I gotta get over there, and you know, well, I feel like God's calling me to do this, but I don't know, you know, and he said this, but she said that, and then, you know, the pastor said this over here, and then I read my Bible and it said this, and I just don't know what to do, right? And we're just striving, we're running around. Well, I know I should have prayed for them, but I didn't. And why didn't I do it? And I was afraid, but was I really afraid, or was I not supposed to pray for them, or what? You know? Is that just me that has those thoughts? Well, I went, you know, Harry, I was praying the other day and I just never felt at ease, you know. I just never got there. I just never got the breakthrough. I never hit the gusher, right? You know, this is kind of how we are in our Christian walk. It's just kind of up and down, up and down, up and down. And to me, learning how to rest is just kind of what stabilizes that whole thing. If I can just learn to rest today, you know, wake up this morning, I'm going to rest, spend some time with God, rest. And then I'm just going to let Him lead me today. I'm not going to get too heady about this. I don't really know what I'm doing, so He's just going to have to lead me and take care of me today. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to try to make myself look like a Christian and do something. I love this one. I'm not going to say that I heard from God when I didn't hear from God. I'm not going to try to make it up. Like, I'm going to know that I heard from God and it's going to be simple and easy. I'm not going to say, oh, was that His voice? Okay, I think it was, you know. I'm just, you know, we do all these types of things. It's easy, guys. It's really easy. We went down to Peru, it seems like forever ago. It wasn't really that long ago, a few weeks ago. And I told that to the team. I was leading a few of them. And I just said, guys, we're not going to go make anything happen. We're not going to go do anything in our own strength. We're just going to rest this whole trip. Now, you guys think that and you think, oh, well, Harry, that means you're going on vacation. You're not doing anything. No, we were we were busy. Morning to night, we were doing stuff. And so how can I say we're just going to not make anything happen? We're just going to rest. Because it was this position that I had on the inside, this thing within me. This is what I saw, is that I'm not going to get worried. I'm not going to get busy. I'm not going to get anxious. I'm not going to do anything on my own strength. I'm going to let God work in these situations. So I'm going to show up, do what I know to do, talk to the people I know to talk to, do the things that His Word says, but I'm not going to make anything happen. I'm going to rest. And so the funny thing that happened was we show up in Peru, and the first night I speak, and I'm just talking, and I wasn't even supposed to talk about healing, but I just started talking about it. And somewhere in all of me talking about healing, the people there, they understood that they were supposed to come the next night and come for a miracle meeting. And so I don't know how that happened, why they thought that. I definitely didn't say that. But so they show up the next night, and all these sick people start walking in. And I tell the team, like, we're just resting. We're just at ease. So if sick people show up, we're just going to pray for them. We're not going to make anything happen. We're not going to just try to pull people out of wheelchairs and get something going, you know, run around, you know, singing Amazing Grace, Kumbaya, and try to get some spiritual event going. We're just going to rest, right? And so it was amazing. That night, we were just all at ease. Bam, bam, bam. All these people are healed. And it's so great because afterwards, I can't say I had anything to do with it because I really did it. Just like, oh, yeah, I guess we did that. You know, it was really just Jesus, God working through us. And so in our everyday lives, this whole discipleship thing, we're talking about discipleship. That's right, Harry. That's right. This whole discipleship thing, when you're making disciples, you may feel this great pressure. Well, I got to make something happen, or I've got my little disciple right here, right? And I got to protect him and take care of him. I got to do this. I got to tell him what to do, right? And that's not how discipleship works at all. You are supposed to do what God has called you to do. Well, what did God have called you to do? You go to the Word. You find out, what are the things that I'm supposed to do? We've been teaching on it. Here's things that you do. And I find myself a lot of times not doing the things I know that I'm supposed to do because I'm focused on doing things over here that don't really matter and are just occupying my mind and just make me feel better. And doing things a lot of times that God's supposed to be doing. And I'm not doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing. Right? Here's a big one. I'm going to go and tell everybody else what they should do, but I'm not going to do what I know I'm supposed to be doing. Is that just me? Who does that? I'm going to go and tell these kids what they should be doing, but I know what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not going to do it. It's a lot easier to just go do the other thing, right? I say all that to say, you and I were supposed to rest. And so if you are, here, let's go to the scripture. If you are freaking out, if you're worried, Matthew 11, let's go there. If you're freaking out, you're worried, if it's all on you, if you're weary, then you're not resting. And then that means you're not trusting in God. And that means His grace isn't working in you. So then you're not being changed and transformed. And then there's this whole thing in Hebrews that says, let's fear lest this happen. So you should be afraid if you're not entering into His rest because it might not end well. You know? So I know I just said a lot. It's all right here. Let's go to the scriptures. Matthew 11, 28. Here we go. This is a great scripture. Y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Is that you tonight? And I will give you rest. This is Jesus talking. Then He says, Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, I think a lot of us have heard this verse, but most of us don't think this is really true, right? Like, for a while, I thought that whole part, this part right here, I've always thought his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So in my mind, well, there's a yoke and there's a burden. So it's got to be heavy and it's got to, you know, there's a burden on my life. So it must be heavy. But he's saying my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Is Jesus lying to us? No. So he's telling us to enter into this rest, to take his yoke. This is how Jesus did ministry. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. He wasn't walking around, well, who am I going to heal today? And how is this going to work? And did I confess enough faith scripture this morning? Like, did I pray in tongues long enough last night to get out here and minister to these people? He didn't do any of that. He just said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I've got these 12 disciples who are a bunch of scallywags and they don't know what they're doing. But it's okay. We're just going to work it out. We're going to trust our Father and He's going to make this whole thing work, right? His yoke is easy, His burden is light. Now to impress you guys with my Bible knowledge, I have a bunch of Greek stuff and I'm going to go through the scriptures. It's okay. Is it okay, guys, for me to impress you with my Bible knowledge that I just took from another book today and I just copied and pasted into my notebook? Is that okay with you guys? All right, permission. Permission granted. This word labor, it's the Greek word kopos, all right? The Greek word kopos. And I'm not going to do any more Greek words, but you know it's in the Greek. It was written in that language. And that word labor is the most wearisome kind of labor. So Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor. All of you who do the most wearisome type of labor. He's not just talking about, you know, sitting on your couch and eating potato chips and the labor that comes along with that. He's talking about people who are really working, really doing something. It wears you out. He says, all of you guys, I want you over here with me. And this is the type of labor where it's people with every fiber of their being, they are working. It's like me climbing that mountain. Every fiber of my being is holding on to this mountain for dear life, right? And that is kind of this image. All of you who are holding on with all you got, who are, you're making disciples and you're giving it everything you have, you're living this Christian walk, you know, you're keeping the faith, you're fighting with everything you got, all of you guys, come to me. And then he says, all of you are heavy laden. And this is the image of a soldier, that backpack or that bag that he carries around all the time. And, you know, I'm not in the military or anything like that, so I'm not going to try to describe to you what that's like. I know we've got different people in here. But it looks heavy. I'm just going to say that. Just be honest. It looks heavy. Whatever they're carrying around, I don't know what it is, but it looks heavy. I wouldn't want to be carrying it around. I got to carry around textbooks. Those jokers are heavy. And this is the image of people you're just carrying around this weight. And you're carrying around and you're doing the most wearisome work and you're carrying around this heavy weight. Now let's go to this word rest that Jesus uses. And then Jesus says all this stuff. This isn't me and this isn't the author of Hebrews and this isn't Paul and Corinthians. This is Jesus. So he says in this word rest, it says to rest, to relax, to keep calm, to refresh. I like those words. Then he says to pause, to take a breather, to take some time. Now this messes with me. Because guys, honestly, a lot of days I'm pretty religious. And how could it be that Jesus is telling me to take a breather? That's not what we're taught. We got to do more, right? We got to do more. We got to work harder. You know, in this life, you got to work hard and you got to earn it and you got to get what you get. Right? This is how we're taught. This is the system of the world. And Jesus is saying the exact opposite. All of you who are working so hard, you're so weary, you got the heavy backpacks with the textbooks. You guys, you college kids, come here. All right, come over here. I'm going to give you some rest. Take a breather, relax, take a load off, okay? Put the backpack down, chill out for a second, okay? And then he says this. He says, take my yoke upon you. And this word take is a word of to deliberately lift. You have to make the decision to take his yoke upon you. It doesn't magically happen. It's not one day you're walking through life, oh, his yoke fell on me. Oh, I feel it now. I'm in the yoke. I'm with Jesus, right? Me and him together. We're working. No, you have to take it. Just imagine Jesus got that yoke like these oxen used to have, right? And he's in one. Just imagine two oxen, right? And Jesus is one of them. And you are the other oxen. You got to take that and put that on you. And you got to get beside Jesus. This is what he's saying. He says, take it. You have to deliberately do it. And Jesus God in the flesh has invited you to do this. And this yoke is for animals that are working together. That's this imagery. And then he uses these words, easy and light. And this word easy I really love, all right? It's really good, y'all. Y'all ready? This word easy. This real meaning is it's pleasurable, it's delightful, it's comfortable. Now this goes against everything I thought we were supposed to sit in pews that made you really uncomfortable. Like I thought that's what church was, right? And if I'm not suffering, then I'm doing something wrong. Right? That's how we're taught. And if our skin isn't crawling, then we're not in the will of God. Is it just me? That's how it's taught. But Jesus himself, he gives us the secret. He tells us, he shows us how it's supposed to happen. He says, you come here, you who are heavy laden, you're burdened, come to me. I'm going to teach you how to rest, guys. So come follow me, I'm going to teach you how to rest. All right, take the yoke, put it on you. You have to make the decision to do that. All right, now that you got it on you, my yoke is real easy, it's pleasurable, it's delightful, and it's light. And here's amazing, guys, this word light in the Greek, this is so deep. This word light, it means light. That's what it means in the Greek. Isn't that amazing? That's so profound. And but that's what it means. If we go back into the Greek, it's still saying the same thing. So don't get all, you know, don't get crazy, okay? So Jesus, when he's saying this and they record it later, he meant what he said and he said it for a reason. Because he knew that you and I in this world, that we would get burdened, we would get wearisome, we would get tired, that he had this mission for us to do. And if we did it in our own strength, we'd wear ourselves out. And so he gave us something called rest that would help us out. And if you and I could just learn to rest, man, this whole thing would be pleasurable, delightful. It would be light. It would be easy. But man, what is it? It's like, well, some days it's just a struggle here. I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to do this thing. It's hard to go and pray. It's hard to go and talk to God. It's hard to read the Bible, right? We think of it as such a challenge and it's so difficult. But I tell you something, it's a lot easier. If we let him, if we get on that operating table and let him operate on us and not us try to operate on us, right? You ever play that game Operation? Right, that's how we are a lot, man. We're just hitting that buzzer over and over and, you know, just messing ourselves up. Just let him operate on you and take care of you. Let him work in you. And then you'll be like the Apostle Paul who says, I did way more work than all of them over there because I let his grace work in me. I didn't try to do it in my own strength. I let him do it through me. Now, how does this happen? I'll wrap up in a second. How do we rest? And I think it's a lot easier to talk about rest than, you know, I love talking about concepts and doing all this stuff. But then we get to the practicalities of it. That's where we get into some things. How do we do this? Because rest is not just sitting in the chair and letting God just pour out everything on you and you just sit there and you live your whole life, you're seated in the chair. That's how we kind of think, some people think of it, I'm just going to lay in bed all day and God will reach the world. Well, no, it's not that. But it's also not you out there doing it all on your own and never talking to God or laying out on the bed. You know what I mean? There's somewhere in between. And I don't know exactly where it is. That's where I'm still learning. But I know that every day, as I learn to enter into his rest, I enter into that place of calmness and peace and quietness within me. And so all hell can be breaking out here. We can have the wind and waves going. But on the inside, I'm at rest. I'm at ease. I'm okay. So what I've learned to do, I'll just give you guys what I've learned to do, because I can't tell you something else. What I've learned to do is to get up in the morning, all right, and before I do all my other stuff, I make my bed real quick, make it, and then I get up. I don't do it at home, but at college I do, okay, trust me. And so I do make my bed, and then I get up, and as I begin to talk to God, and I begin to remind myself, not him, he knows who he is, I begin to remind myself of who God is, and then I begin to remind myself of who I am. And I don't just do this in my mind, I'm trying to think these thoughts, you know, God is so great. God is so good, you know. But I say them out loud. And so I get my mind, I get my flesh, I get my whole body going in this direction. I begin to get this whole rest thing going. And then what I do, and not everybody has the time to do this, but I make time to do it. And so if you want to do it, you make time to do it. I go and I pray. And I spend time praying in tongues. And praying in tongues is really a place that we can enter into his rest. Because we're not even coming up with what to say. It's just coming out of us. Now, I still have to move my mouth. I still have to yield my vocal cords. But I'm not making myself, you know, pray in tongues and this syllable here and that one there, right? So then I begin to do that. And then I begin to pray out other things. And then he might show me a verse to read or whatever. And then what I like to do, and I tell you all this, I like to take some deep breaths. All right? And that, I just imagine that load being lifted off me. And then I'm just in this place, and I'll just lay there, quiet. Seriously, everything quiet. And I'll just lay there, maybe sit there, whatever. All right? And I'll let God work. I'll let him talk to me some days. Some days, you know, either I'm not listening or he doesn't have anything to say. But I'm just sitting there, just waiting. And there's a verse in Psalm 131 that really helped me. Let's put that up. Grayson sent me this one day, because Grayson knows how I am. It's good to have a brother who knows how you are. Grayson knows that I am, in some ways, a control freak. And so he knows that from experience, because he's, you know, been under the control of the freak. And so he knows, and then he knows that I'm a big talker, I'm a big thinker, and so he knows how I am, and so he sent me this. He said, this is in Psalms, it says, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. That's my life story right there. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. David, the psalmist, is writing here, hey, I'm calming my soul. I'm not thinking about things that are too great. I'm not worrying about how am I supposed to save the world today. I'm not worrying about all of this. I'm just going to quiet my soul. I'm going to calm myself down. And I'm going to give God an opportunity to work in me, give him an opportunity to talk to me, give him an opportunity to give me revelation. And so I just spend time doing that. And if you saw me doing it, you might think I was asleep. And some days I might honestly be asleep. But no, if you saw me doing it, you might, well, that guy over there, he's not doing anything. Yeah, that's right. That's basic. I'm not doing anything. I'm letting him work in me. I'm yielding myself. Just imagine, I'm on the operating table letting him work. You work in me, God. I'm going to rest. I'm going to quiet myself. All right, you're working in me, okay? And then when the time's ready, some days you only have 10 minutes. Some days I take an hour. However long you can give them. Just give it to them and rest. It'll help you. It'll be worth it. A nap's a nap no matter how small. A five-minute nap is a lot better than no nap at all. Right? Dr. Seuss up here. And so it isn't about periods of time. It isn't about, well, I read through the whole New Testament this year and look at me. It's about you and I learning how to rest, enter into this, letting God work in us, and he'll do the difficult stuff. He can work out the big things. Your job is just to do what he tells you to do, or to do what you already know to do. It's not that difficult. Actually, it's pretty easy, and it's pretty light. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty chill. So I give you permission tonight to relax. I give you permission tonight to rest. Christina, you can rest tonight. All right? I know, well, Harry, I got a job, and I got to work, and I got these kids. No. Just rest. Just chill out. It would be best for all of them if you just took some time and rested. And I'm not necessarily talking about going on vacation, even though that's good. But a lot of people, man, they go on vacation, they don't even rest. You would come back, you know, more tired than we were when we left, right? So that's not necessarily it. I'm just saying every day, let's learn how to rest. Take time at the beginning of your day. Well, you don't have time there? That's okay. Take time at the end of the day before you go to bed. Just take time somewhere and rest, please. And if you're not sleeping at night, please sleep. All right, and you're not eating, you need to eat. All right, and you're not drinking water, you need to get one of these and drink some water. All right, these are just simple things to live. This is Papa Harry tonight. All right, kiddos. That's who I am at camp. And I love it. I love every second of it. But let's just take a moment right here, and we'll just all stand up. We don't have a ton of time. Let's all stand up or sit down or lay down or whatever you need to do. And man, it is just so much better when it's not me or you trying to do something and it's just God. It just works out so much better, so much easier. Man, he's got a good plan. For you tonight who are stressed out about certain things coming up, just throw that out. Don't worry about it. He'll work it out. Well, Harry, I'm just waiting on God to speak to me. God will speak to you when he needs to speak to you. So just chill. That's what I learned one day. He'll tell me when he needs to tell me. So I'm just, all right, I'm just here. I'm quieting my soul. And Sharon, do you have that track? We're just going to take a moment right here and rest. This might be like a 5-minute nap. It's not going to be very long. But your kids aren't here, and you're not at your job, so you got this little moment, so take advantage of it. And what I'm going to do is you can pray, remind God, remind yourself who God is. You can remind yourself who you are. You can pray in tongues. You can just take some deep breaths. You can chill out. You can lay down. You can go to sleep. Whatever you need to do, we're just going to take a moment right here and rest. We have a track back there. Yeah? Awesome.